Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Time Management Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yes, indeed we are. You know, people may remember that a few weeks ago, my dear brother talked about a brilliant idea that he came up with.
Yes.
Do you recall? Double Dog Daylight Savings Time. The basic idea is that instead of moving the clock ahead 1 hour during the summer, we'd move it ahead 2 hours.
Yes.
Which would leave us hours of daylight after work for barbecuing, swimming, sleeping in the hammock, and so forth.
It was a brilliant idea.
It was a brilliant idea.
It is a brilliant idea. Continues to be.
Yeah. Well, that prompted a flurry of other interesting time management ideas from our listeners, but this one is the one that I happen to have liked the best. It's from a guy named Peter Callen of Doylestown, Pennsylvania, who calls his plan, are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Daily savings time.
I like it.
Don't you love it already?
I love it.
It's a two-part plan. Here's part one. The clocks would be set forward by an hour every afternoon at 3:30 p.m., immediately making it 4:30 p.m., and almost time to quit work.
Perfect.
Every business would immediately save an hour's worth of energy costs every day.
Of course.
A roughly 12% savings. Workers' morale would immediately improve, and productivity would soar since not much gets done after 3:30 anyway.
I'm in complete agreement.
Yeah. The second part of my plan is to move the clock back an hour every morning at 4:30 a.m.
While you're sleeping.
While you're sleeping. Immediately making it, what, 3:30 a.m. This would allow nearly everyone to get an extra hour of sleep every night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are studies that show the typical American is sleep-deprived. This would yield immediate health benefits.
Indeed.
People would awaken every morning well-rested and in a good mood, even teenagers. Right? Teenagers need a lot more sleep.
They do. Jeez. And they say that Americans are short on ingenuity these days. Are you kidding?
Well, if you have a brilliant...
Well, this would be a boom to the clock market. I mean, no one's going to get up and set his clock back an hour.
Of course not. The clocks have to be completely redesigned
right.
So that they automatically do this every day.
Exactly.
Every single clock. Just the clock industry.
I'm buying clock futures, man. Look, if you have a brilliant scheme or a question about your car, and moreover,
see, it's
if we combined his thing
and yours
and mine,
we would know.
We'd never know.
We were coming to go.
Well, anyway, if you have a question.
But it's interesting how one idea
spawns yeah.
others.
Exactly.
And this one may spawn others, and pretty soon we'll have something that actually makes sense.
Not if it's coming from us. Anyway, give us a call if you have a scheme or a question. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
My name is Katie. I'm calling from Washington, D.C.
Hi, Katie. So what do you think about turning the clock at 3:30 every day, turning it ahead to 4:30?
You know, I don't think that's too bad.
No, it's
you know,
not
I wouldn't
too
mind
bad.
That. Well, it's the getting up part and changing it back that would, you know.
Yeah, that would be tough. You know who would be lousy for? The people who got out at 3 o'clock.
Good point, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they'd have an hour less.
Yeah.
Oh, no one would want those hours.
No,
anyway.
No, they wouldn't get anywhere too. Anyway, Katie, where are you from?
Washington, D.C.
Oh, D.C. What can we do for you?
I just recently purchased a 2001 VW Bug.
Okay.
And my parking brake is not working correctly, and I found this out the hard way. I had parked on a hill and left, you know, I parked it. Everything was fine.
Oh.
I came back to find my car wasn't there. It was towed, evidently, because it wandered out in the middle of the street.
Oh. Is it a stick shift?
Yes, it is.
Oh.
So,
and you didn't have it in gear.
I didn't have it in gear. I just put the parking brake on.
Well,
and
you know that you should always have it in gear.
Does that hurt the gear shift at all? Or?
No, but not having it in gear might hurt someone's rhododendrons.
Well, who was it? You that did this?
No, I did the opposite, in fact. I had a car some years ago that had a perfectly operating parking brake.
Mm-hmm.
And I hardly ever used it because I had a big V8 engine, and I parked on the hill in front of my house.
Yeah.
And I put the thing in gear. I left it in reverse, except the engine had such low compression after 400,000 miles that the car just rolled down the hill in spite of the thing being in gear.
And he found it on a lawn across the street.
Oh,
Luckily, nobody was killed.
Nobody that we know of. Anyway, so your car is out in the middle of the street, and you want to know what's wrong with your emergency brake.
Right. Well, it makes noises now when I park on even a slight incline, you know, when I put the parking brake on.
Yeah.
It makes noises as if it's about to give.
And it is.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, it makes noise when you take your foot off the foot brake and are requiring then the parking brake to hold the car just itself.
Exactly.
But if it makes creaking noises, it means the wheels are turning.
Okay.
So you got to fix the brake.
And how much does that cost?
Well, you need both things, by the way. I mean, you need to put the thing in gear all the time. When you're stopped and you're parked, you need to set the handbrake, assuming that it works.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to put it in reverse.
Okay.
Whether you're pointing up the hill or down the hill.
Okay.
Okay, because reverse is the biggest gear ratio, the one that gives the wheels the least amount of mechanical advantage, and thus makes it harder for the car to push itself down the hill.
Okay, great.
Okay, but how much is it going to cost to fix your handbrake?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you may just need the pads replaced. I think on this car, your emergency brake is on the rear calipers.
Okay.
And you may have to replace the calipers.
Okay.
You know, it could be money. But you know, you're used to spending money on this car, aren't you?
Not yet.
But she just got it.
you just...
You'll learn.
Oh, no, yeah.
No, but this is something you got to do. So don't waste time.
It may just need an adjustment.
Okay, well, I'll get that checked out.
Okay, get right on it.
Well, thank you very much.
And in the meantime, always put it in reverse.
That's great advice. I really appreciate it.
Even if you have to leave the engine running.
See you, Katie.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mike in Bloomington, Illinois.
Hi, Mike.
Mike.
What's happening, man?
Not a whole lot.
Doesn't say much for Bloomington, huh?
Yeah.
So what's going on?
Not a whole lot. I got a problem with my 1993 Ford Probe GT.
Yeah.
It's making a whoop, 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 whoop noise.
We might have a shot at whoop, whoop, whoop.
Well, actually, it goes from whoop, whoop, whoop to more of a broom, broom, broom.
Oh.
When you slow down?
When I'm at high speeds making a right turn.
Oh. So give us the whole scenario here. You get in your car, you start to drive. At what point do you start hearing whoop, whoop, whoop?
The second I start to drive. I get to about 5 miles per hour, I can hear it.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's coming from the left front wheel.
Yes.
And as you're going faster and faster, it's getting more and more frequently. Whoop, 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 whoop.
Exactly.
See, now I had a 1 in 4 chance of hitting that, and Mike thinks I'm a genius now. You notice how he said, yes.
Yes. How did you know?
I'm impressed.
I am too.
Yeah. And I
and you're gonna snowball chance of telling them why it's coming from the left.
I'm working on that. Go ahead, Mike. Take as much time as you need.
Okay, so there you go. So if you're driving straight ahead, it will just continue to go whoop 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 whoop.
Yeah, but it gets louder when I make right turns.
And it turns into a different sound. You said
at high speeds.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like what's the new sound again?
It's more of a wonk wonk wonk.
Does it sound like
W-O-N-K.
It's metallic?
It's
sound.
If I open the window and I listen to the front tire,
yeah,
I can hear it going click, 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 kind of. But it's more of a click than a clack.
Yeah.
Have you had any work done on the car?
I brought it in, and they replaced my half shafts.
Oopsie.
Okay. All right, so we crossed the first 6 inches off the list. So in order to solve this problem, they replaced your half shafts.
Yes.
Okay. What else did they do?
They gave me a whole new brake job.
New brakes, okay.
There goes the...
But that was for a different...
7 through 11. Okay. Go ahead.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Sorry.
I still got two. I still got two.
All right, go ahead. What else did they do?
That's basically it.
You're okay. Sure? Because there are severe penalties, Mike,
okay.
For withholding information.
What do you want now?
There will be a grand CV joint.
There will be a grand jury subpoena.
Wait, what'd you say about CV joint?
I think they replaced that too.
Well, they did.
That's what the half shafts were.
Same thing.
Okay, I've got a backup to my brother's answer, so I'll let him give you his answer, which I agree with, by the way.
Well,
and then when you tell him, oh, I forgot, I got a backup.
Well, my brother is going to agree with the answer that it's a bad wheel bearing, but I'm not. That's not my primary answer.
It's not.
No. As a matter of fact, I was when you started mentioning this, I was reminded of a vehicle that was brought into our shop a few weeks ago. It was a car, and it was I can't remember what it was. It was one of those.
Do you live in St. Mary Mead?
Take us back.
Yeah. I'll take you back.
Take us back to that glorious day of yesteryear.
When we had a customer come in with it was one of those sport utility things, like an Explorer or a Cherokee or some such thing.
Yeah.
And four-wheel drive. And we had done brake work to this, and then over a period of months, he developed a noise which was, and the faster he went, the noisier it got.
All right.
We initially thought it was one of the axles, one of the front axles, a U-joint on the front axle.
Sure.
And we took all this stuff apart, found nothing wrong, and it turned out to be a bad tire.
That was my backup answer.
A bad tire.
Yeah. And, and we discovered
he threw us off the mark with this click, click, click sound, which is a stone in the tire.
That's a stone in the tire.
Because from the beginning, I've been with tire until he gave us... Until he gave us
I've been tired from the beginning, too.
Until he gave us the click, click sound, and then when he replaced the axle shaft, I had to leap to the wheel bearing, which I thought you were going to latch onto.
No.
And I was going to back you up with the tire story.
I didn't like the wheel bearing because wheel bearings growl.
Yeah.
They growl.
Yeah.
But you have tread separation, and it may not even be visible.
I my front tires are bald, as a matter of fact.
Oh!
Well, buy two new tires for the front, and the noise will be gone.
I agree completely.
All right. I hope you're right.
Hey, Mike, this is a 100% guarantee.
Okay.
There's no doubt in anybody's mind except, of course, yours.
But it's a healthy skepticism.
It's a good try, and you need the tires anyway, so we can't go too far afield.
Exactly.
Good luck, Mike.
All right.
Yeah, no, it's definitely the tire.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tack. I'm calling from Liberty, Missouri.
What's your name again?
It's Tack. T like Tommy?
Yeah.
A-C.
T-A-C. Is that a nickname?
Yes, it is. It's short for my last name, which is Takalaski, but I can't tell you that because
last
name.
Oh, a fine Polish girl.
Lithuanian.
Lithuanian, almost the same.
Takalaski. All right, and where are you from again?
I'm calling from Liberty, Missouri.
Oh, Liberty, Missouri. Got it. Okay. So what's up, Tack?
Well, I have a 1988 Camry with 167,000 miles on it, and my father bought the Camry in December of 1987, and unfortunately only lived a couple more years. So the car has been in our family, mother, sister, me now, and every time it's time to make a repair, which is often, several times a year, it's something, I say, is it time to get rid of it? And I think it's time to donate the car and say goodbye. But I think that we need to have a memorial service of some kind to say goodbye, because there's a lot of emotional attachment, but the problem is we don't all live near one another, so we can't just throw our memories into the sunroof and sing kumbaya. We have to do something long distance.
Oh, so you know what you need to do? Everyone needs a little keepsake.
Yeah, like a tire.
Everybody take a tire home. Well, what do you mean?
You can kick it once in a while.
We loved Dad. We don't want to kick it. No,
well, kicking the tire is symbolic.
It's symbolic.
It's a test of good health.
You can leave it in your living room. You know, it would be a nice thing to have.
But there are certain pieces of the car that aren't necessary anymore. Perhaps like the ashtray.
Okay.
So somebody could get the ashtray.
Yeah.
Well, the headliner's kind of hanging. Could we trim off parts of
You could trim off pieces of the headliner. Oh, and frame them.
Oh, yeah. That would be
right?
Good.
You could do a little, what do they call that thing? A collage.
Oh, okay.
Right? A little piece of headliner, maybe a little piece of seat cushion, piece of the rug.
So these could be my Christmas gift to my family members this year?
Oh, yeah. You take out a spark plug here and there.
There are plenty of things you can take off without disturbing the vital integrity of the car.
Okay.
If it still has any.
That the migrant farm workers won't need when I donate it to them.
Right. Yeah. They're not going to need an ashtray.
What about the stickers? Like, he used to work for Department of Defense, and there's one of those on the side. Can we maybe scrape those off and give them to the brothers?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Why not?
No, I think that you need to, first of all, do a nice little Christmas little thing with a framed photograph of the car, maybe from a couple of different angles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could set up a little website, but that would be too impersonal.
Yeah.
I think the personal thing would be photographs.
Yeah.
You know, the car. And then a little piece of the car. Doesn't have to be big. Maybe even a square-inch little piece of the headliner, you know, inside the frame, stuck, under the glass. Yeah. Piece of dad's car. That'd be touching.
Well, I also have the vehicle invoice from Cherry Hill Toyota.
Whoa.
With my dad's signature on it.
Oh, that everyone needs a copy
everyone
of that.
Everyone needs that.
Stuck
okay.
behind the picture. The picture.
Now, how about all these many, many pages of receipts from the repairs and
no, maintenance? I think the migrant workers are going to get those.
Okay.
Yeah, let's not get carried away here, Tack.
Okay.
I think we got your whole Christmas thing taken care of. You're good to go.
Well, this is great because now I don't have to do any Christmas shopping.
Yeah.
That's perfect in this economy. I'll just work on this.
All right. Well, get right on it.
Thank you so much. Terrific idea.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay, quick. What was last week's puzzler?
I know it. It was about a haircut in Horsetown.
Right decade, but that's not it. It was about a troublesome Cadillac in Minnesota.
All right, I got no idea what you're talking about. Have we ever met before?
No. I'll have the details in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Got that really early from the factory. Driving like a nutter in the rain. I don't think I was acting so hysterically. But I didn't see a thing until it came. Met the dumps of bubbles in the takeaway. Beating up the shiny.
And even those sausage makers shudder at the thought of how our show gets made whenever they hear us say it. This is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. Here it is.
Yeah.
You don't remember.
I don't remember it at all.
This was supplied by a listener named Shelley Payne, and I quote, more or less, with the necessary obfuscations.
Yeah.
Whatever. Several years ago, my father-in-law, who lives in Minnesota, had trouble with his late model Cadillac DeVille. His battery kept dying every couple of days. He'd get it jump started, and it would run fine for a few days, but then die again. He took it to the dealership, and they did this, you know, quick little day. Ah, your battery's all right, your alternator's all right. They sent him away. They couldn't sell him a new car, so they gave up.
What do they care if it starts?
Yeah. One morning, last winter, after there had been several inches of snow, remember, this is Minnesota.
Are you sure it was winter?
No,
maybe it was July.
He went out, and sure enough, the battery was dead. So he jump-started the car and went into town to get a cup of coffee at the local drugstore where he used to, you know, hang out. Now, being that he lives in the small town, he parked right in front of the drugstore. He was in a crummy mood, and while drinking his cup of coffee, he complained to the pharmacist about how his car was driving him cuckoo. The pharmacist asked, "Is that your car right out there?" "Yes, it is," he said. The pharmacist said, "I know why your car is dying." What did the pharmacist see? Now, you got to remember all the facts.
Let me just go back over this.
And revisit.
Late model Cadillac.
There you
run
go.
For a few days.
Uh-huh.
It was winter.
The dealership didn't find anything wrong with it.
Dealership didn't find... Snow is the key.
There you go.
The snow is the key.
Minnesota. Snow.
Minnesota.
Druggist.
Snow.
Pharmacist.
The druggist.
Grouchy.
Looks out. Ah, ha, 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 ha. I've got it. His rear window defogger.
So close, but yet so far.
No.
What the pharmacist noticed is that there was snow on the roof of the car. He had just started it and driven over there.
Yeah.
There was probably even snow on the hood. But there was no snow
on the trunk.
On the trunk, because the trunk light was staying on. And that bulb, believe it or not, was generating enough heat to keep the snow from Jeez, and I think... Can we play the tape of last week's show?
When I said, what a great
puzzler. When he said, wow, what a puzzler. Now, what did you think it was going to be? Martians? But you knew all the facts. What did you think the answer was going to be?
Well,
give me a better answer than this.
No, actually, it's not bad. It's not. It's really not. It's not that bad because it would mean that the light had been on for days. And that's why that trunk would have been really hot in there. Sure, I think it's fine. I'll go with it.
It is rather...
Yeah, no.
Disconcerting to get such a vote of confidence one week.
I take it back. I take back the Bronx cheer. I think it's a great puzzler.
No, you don't. Not really.
No.
Anyway.
But we do have a winner.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Our winner this week is Meredith Moss from Tempe, Arizona, and for having your answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Meredith is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which she can get a copy of Ask Click and Clack, a book of questions and answers from CarTalk.
Oh, yeah. And who asks these questions?
Who asks them? Our listeners, our readers.
And who gives the answers?
We do.
You see, that's the fatal flaw. I mean, who's going to buy that stupid thing?
Why do you think we're giving it away as a puzzler prize?
Of course.
Congratulations, Meredith, for being this week's puzzler winner.
Yeah,
of course we're giving it away.
We have to. Might be a million seller. Is your seller big enough to hold a million of these? Anyway, we'll have a new puzzler coming up later in the show. In the meantime, give us a call. Puzzle us. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Is anyone ever going to figure out that when we give stuff away, it's because we can't sell it?
now they will, I think. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. It's Jim Davis calling up from the Car Talk Chemical Lab.
Jim,
Professor,
baby.
This is Professor Jim Davis from the world's greatest university.
Oh, WGU.
WGW.
Well, I hear you have another question about radiator fluids. Could you bring me up to date?
Up to speed, so to speak? Yes.
I wish I could remember what it was.
We received a phone call from some guy who was traveling in some forsaken place in Utah, Canyonlands, near around Moab, and the vehicle began to overheat. And at the direction of his, I believe, girlfriend, he was required to relieve himself into the radiator to make up for some liquid lost for some reason we don't know. And he wanted to know what effect might this have on his cooling system, which is obviously consists of cast iron, aluminum, and perhaps even copper. And rubber hoses.
And rubber hoses.
Oh,
and ethylene glycol antifreeze.
Yeah.
And we knew, Jim, that you'd be up to it.
Oh, well, I assume, knowing you guys, that you told him to flush the radiator.
Yes.
Well, he suggested that himself.
He said, don't tell me to flush the radiator. So he beat us to it on that one.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyhow, I guess it's better than nothing, but you should be aware, he should be aware, that a salty water is more corrosive either than tap water or distilled water.
Salty.
So if this is an emergency fix on the road, I guess, as I say, it's better than nothing, but he ought to flush the radiator seriously,
clean it out,
and put a fresh supply of coolant in there.
Now,
how much salt is in there?
The average release.
Release is good.
It's certainly a percent or so. I haven't actually figured it out. It can vary considerably depending on how hot it is, how much it's been sweating. In other words, concentrated the urine
is. It could be pretty
concentrated.
I believe it was rather hot, which means he had been perspiring a lot, and therefore the stuff inside would have been concentrated.
Yeah. Well,
what salts do we have in there?
Well, mostly sodium chloride, but there also are other salts.
And, of course, there's uric acid. I never thought of that.
Yes, there's a certain amount of that in there. But it's really the saltiness of it that's the only real concern. That and maybe a little bit of smell, too, that would be a factor.
And the saltiness would be a problem because it would ionize and therefore set up a little
salt water is a conductor of electricity, and corrosion is an electrochemical process which is hastened by saltiness. That's why things corrode more in seawater than in river water.
Exactly. That's why we should take the fleet out of the Atlantic.
The Italians did.
Well, they do have to take steps to prevent the corrosion.
Well, Jim,
there's another point that occurred to me that's probably worth mentioning, and that is if any of your listeners or you guys yourselves find yourself in this situation, I think it's very important to go into a can or a bottle first and then pour it into the radiator.
Yes.
The reason is a stream of salty water is an excellent conductor of electricity, and should the stream accidentally be misdirected over to the battery cables,
yes,
you could get quite a jolt from
doing it. I don't need to go any further. No need to go a step further. Oh, my God.
But,
wow.
I think your guy should clean the radiator out as soon as he gets the chance.
Well, Jim, thank you, as always,
Dr. Jim,
for your very capable analysis of a complex social problem.
You are most welcome.
Hey,
I'm
what
sure
do you do
I...
when you're not consulting to us? Do we pay you enough that it doesn't matter?
You certainly do. I am certainly worth what you pay me. Okay.
We've always felt that way, Jim.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, thanks a lot for calling.
Okay, bye.
Hey, I have mail.
Who cares?
Here it is. It's wisdom about the nature of dogs.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's some interesting things that you can learn from your dog.
Yeah, I bet there are.
Here's one. Some days you're the dog, some days you're the hydrant.
Yes, indeed.
This one's from Groucho Marx. Outside of a dog, a book is probably man's best friend. Inside of a dog, it's too dark to read. This is from Joe Weinstein, whoever he may be. My dog is worried about the economy because Alpo is up to 99 cents a can, and that's almost $7 in dog money. And this one from Mark Twain. If you pick up a starving dog and make him prosperous, he will not bite you. That is the principal difference between a dog and a man.
Indeed.
You are so right, Mark, baby. That's it. I don't know who sent it to us, and I like it.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Words to remember.
Words to remember.
Words to live by.
And to live by and to die by. Whatever.
Watch over the hydrants. Now, remember, if you've got something you want to send my brother, you know, like a demand for child support or anything like that, you can send it to him at Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238. Or if you're bored at work and you have access to email, you can go visit cartalk.com and you can mail us anything you want. virtual fresh fruit.
Right. And I have to say that I got a big batch of snail mail today, and I have to agree, again, with myself, that snail mail is better than email.
Oh, yeah, because when you put pen to paper, you think about it a lot more.
Yeah. The snail mail is excellent, although what did I choose to read?
Email. Well, you're a dope. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, this is Ann calling from Kansas City.
Hi, Ann from Kansas
Ann,
City.
Is there an E at the end of that?
There is an E, always.
Oh.
Always.
And I'm calling because I understand that one of you has an MG, and I have wanted an older MG convertible for...
Sold! Just give us your address there in the morning.
I wanted one for a long time, and my husband and my dad tell me that it would need to come with an English mechanic in the trunk.
Well, that's almost true.
And that I'd be better off with a Miata, so I wanted to know what you guys think.
It's interesting that you should bring this up, because I am the brother who has the MG.
Oh.
And what am I driving now? We get these test cars to drive, and I am driving a Miata.
Oh, no.
And I told my brother, I said, this is what your car could have been.
That's right.
If the English knew anything about how to make cars, or to continue to make cars and evolved into, you know.
Yeah.
And your MG had evolved into a real car.
Exactly. Oh. And the Miata has a roof that goes up and down. Mine goes up and down, but it takes a lot of work. It also has a heater. It has, like, windshield wipers. It has windows. It's got all that stuff.
It has headlights that actually illuminate the road.
Well, I don't care about all that, and I just think the Miatas, especially the older ones, are just so cool looking. Or not the Miatas, the MGs are so cool looking.
Yeah, the MGs are very cool looking, but that is about all they have going for them.
That's not true. Because despite all the wonderful things that this Miata has, I wouldn't trade my MG for it if you put in the price of the Miata as well.
Really?
But the MG is a death trap.
Of course it is.
Of course it's a death trap. It has nothing to save your life. It has no airbags. It has crummy brakes. It has terrible handling. If you have a front-end collision, the steering wheel is going to go through your sternum.
Oh, no. This isn't what I wanted to hear.
And that's why he's the only one we'll let drive it. If we lose him, hey, it's all right. We can always get another brother.
I mean, it's true that you could get hurt hitting a bicycle.
Really? Part of the frame is oak.
No.
The frame is iron.
And it's strong.
Mostly rust. Wow.
Mostly rust.
So my brother has come up with a scheme that he can only drive the car on roads that were in existence when the car was built. So
when was that? What year?
1952. So he can't drive on any roads that exist. So he's basically been reduced to driving in the historic district of downtown Boston. But answer me this question. Since you've had the Miata, how many times have you driven the MG?
Well,
tell the honest truth now.
I haven't driven it at all.
Ah!
Ask me how many times I've had the top down on the Miata.
Well, It's been raining for two weeks.
That's why I haven't been driving the MG.
Does it leak?
Oh!
Oh, no.
Well, of course it leaks.
Oh, yeah. No.
But you have
to really rethink this. I mean, you know.
Wait a minute. I have to just tell Ann. I don't care that it leaks. The car is magnificent.
Yeah, because he doesn't need a car. This is a car that if it works, it works. If it doesn't work and it's laid up for 6 weeks, it doesn't matter to him. If you need a car that you're going to drive on a regular basis, it can't be this one.
But I'm thinking like a late 1960s, early 70s style.
Oh. Yeah, well, those are almost civilized.
Yeah, those
oh,
are real
really?
Cars. I mean, those cars have windows. They go up and down.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Okay.
You'll be drummed right out of the club if you buy one of those, Ann.
No, if that's what does it for you, that's fine.
So that isn't a maintenance nightmare.
Oh, no. No.
Oh.
Those are almost as bad. They're not quite as bad.
Oh, no.
But, it must be that feeling of, I think what you MG devotees share is that feeling of elation
when
you
starts.
Arrive at your destination.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, like, oh, my God. It's like traveling on a raft across the Pacific, and you finally
spy
an island in the distance, and you make it. You say, oh, my God, we made it. I can't believe it.
There's no question about it. If I just make it to Harvard Square, I think that I've done
a wonderful day's
work. Exactly.
Well, are there any particular problems that I should watch out for on buying one? Because I've been sort of looking on eBay.
Well, I'm sure in Kansas City there's an MG club.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Sure.
And what you have to do is find out when they meet, and then you can go in and steal one of their cars while they're all inside having the meeting. And the people who belong to these clubs are, as you might expect, fanatics about their cars. And it would be from one of those people that you would want to get a car. Because it's often the case that people who own one own a few.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I think there'd be some embarrassment if, in fact, that person sold you an awful car.
That's convinced me. I'm going to tell my dad and my husband, no, I'm taking the less practical route.
Yes, you absolutely should do it because when you got the urge, you've got to do it.
Okay.
As my old grandmother used to say in her broken Italian, "Bens is your bone," which means think about this carefully.
Think about this carefully.
Yeah, but you do what you think is best. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
See you.
Okay.
An MG is not something you think about. It's something you just feel.
Just do. Just plan.
Just do.
Didn't we get... Bye, Ann.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Good luck.
Okay, look, it's time for us to take a little break here, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, and while we're gone, my brother will be diligently preparing the brand new Puzzler.
Well, diligently might be overstating the case of it. I don't want to mislead our listeners.
All right, then what adverb would you use then?
Haphazardly.
Okie dokie. We'll be back with more of your calls and some sort of brand new Puzzler in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
Driving that helmet with the sun on our back, we could get around on a day and a half, sliding along with no cares. The top came down, the sky was up, we
And even though Goldilocks wonders who's been messing with her radio's presets whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. Now, I have several potential new Puzzlers.
Oh, and you haven't actually decided yet?
PMPs,
you're going to do it right here live on National Public Radio. You're going to take out the two or three that are in contention, so to speak, and you're going to just decide right now. And what are we supposed to do in the meantime? We're supposed to just sit here and stick our fingers in our ears?
Yeah, like you usually do. Well, I tried a couple on the staff. They didn't get any of them, so I'm going to try this one, which I didn't try in them, because I like this one the best. This is a non-automotive puzzler.
All right.
This was sent from someplace on Alpha Centauri by Dave Etnoyer. Oh, here it is. A farmer had a 40-pound stone, which he could use to weigh 40 pounds of feed. He would sell feed in 40-pound or bales of hay or whatever. So he had a balance scale. He put the stone on one side.
Balance beam, yeah.
And he'd pile the other side with feed or hay when it balanced. Boom, that's it.
Another one of these.
Well, this is interesting.
Yeah, okay. I like it already.
Don't start with the liking it. I don't want to hear you like it. I'm sick of that.
I don't want to build up your hopes. But I do like it so far.
And neighbor borrows...
The fact that it's a stone and it weighs exactly 40 pounds.
It does.
I find that interesting.
Well, you have to chip off pieces.
You make the stone.
You have to chip off
you
pieces.
You go to Brookstone and you say, Brookstone, I'd like a 40-pound stone.
Well, who else would you buy it from? Brookstone, right?
You deliver.
You go into the brook, you pick out a stone.
I just want to tick off the UPS guy. We have to deliver it.
Can I continue?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But it's bad enough that you interfere to this extent.
Did I interrupt?
Then you screw up the puzzler. You interfere with the very nature of it, and then you have the audacity the next week.
All right, no, this is serious. The puzzler is the only serious part of the show.
Okay. A neighbor borrows the stone, but he had to apologize when he returned it broken into four pieces.
Oh.
The farmer who owned the stone later told the neighbor that he actually had done him a favor.
Yeah.
The pieces of the broken stone could now be used to weigh any item, assuming those items were in one-pound increments, from 1 pound...
To 40.
To 40.
Or 41. How about that? Now that would be a puzzle.
That would be good.
Yeah.
What were the weights of the four individual stones? Okay. So if you want to weigh 1 pound, 6 pounds, 11 pounds, 22 pounds, 39 pounds,
wow!
How would you use the stones, the thing you're weighing, and the balance beam? And how would you, right? Remember that. Oh. And here's the hint. How would you weigh 2 pounds? That's the question. I could give a further hint.
Don't. No, that is great.
Yeah, till next week. Next week, it'll be in the doghouse. If you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a... I need these $20 bills.
I know you do.
Write it on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238, or you can do an electronic funds transfer and email us your answer on a $20 bill by visiting cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us... Our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Chris. I live in the boonies of northern Arizona.
Chris.
So it must be just C-H-R-I-S.
Yeah.
Ah.
Northern Arizona.
Is that like right near the Canadian border?
Pretty much.
How north is it?
Well, you're right on the Utah border.
No, it's about 50 miles from Flagstaff.
Flagstaff.
Oh,
yeah, good. So what's up, Chris?
Oh, well, I have an 83 Chevy S10.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
When I accelerate hard, it goes pop, 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 pop inside the engine.
Yeah.
Kind of like a backfire in the engine, and it surges and it loses power. But when I push the pedal as hard as I can to the floor, it goes, and it starts going, and it stops popping.
Yeah.
And this only happens when the engine is warmed up.
Good.
So if you accelerate, so you say medium hard, it does the pop, pop, pop.
Yeah.
And if you really floor it.
If you really floor it.
Goes like hell. Yeah.
It doesn't do the pop, pop, pop. Or
right.
It may do it for a second or two, and then...
And then it's gone, yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's terrible on hills for acceleration.
Yeah.
You know, I've tried cleaning the carburetor out, put some fuel treatment in there.
But when it's cold, it does none of these things. It just goes perfectly.
Yeah.
And you can stomp on it when it's cold and it takes off.
Right.
Good.
Oh, you could almost use one of your patented answers.
No.
But it would be wrong.
It would be wrong.
But you could make a case for it.
What's wrong with this? This
it's
thing,
the choke pull-off, I have to say.
This thing has a two-barrel carburetor. And
uh-huh.
When you step on the pedal in a normal fashion, that is, you try to accelerate without stomping the pedal to the floor,
uh-huh.
One of the barrels is primarily providing the gasoline.
Okay.
Except that it can't provide enough, and that's why you get the boom, 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 the backfires through the carburetor.
Okay.
When you've stomped on the pedal, you are kicking open the other barrel, and you are compensating for the inadequacy of barrel number one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So the fact that you've tried cleaning the carburetor tells me you're on the right track, but it may need professional help.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It well may.
Yeah. I suspect that your jets are plugged up in this thing. And that's why if you're driving around town and don't put much of a demand on the thing, it's okay. But if you drive at high speed...
Here we are. We're sitting in this little radio studio in some little town here in northern Massachusetts. And we have headphones on, and our esteemed producer can actually talk to us.
Okay.
And he helps us with all these questions. He knows everything about cars. And here's what he just suggested.
Ah.
Take off the carburetor and put it in the dishwasher. Now, where would we be without a guy like that? Where would we be?
Where would we be?
Well, it's not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea.
Oh, no.
No, in fact, you're the shop that you take your car to,
mm-hmm.
Wherever that may be, will have such a dishwasher for carburetors, perhaps. No, they'll have a parts bath. They'll disassemble the thing and soak the carburetor in this very carcinogenic stuff.
Well, I guess I've sprayed enough caustic chemicals. A couple other ones can't hurt.
See, spraying the carburetor is not going to help because the dirt is in the inside of the carburetor. So spraying the outside of the carburetor, so to speak, i.e. the parts you can see,
okay.
And what happens is when you spray the stuff in, it just gets sucked straight down into the engine,
uh-huh.
And all the places that need to be cleaned are in the other direction.
Okay.
So it ain't going to help.
If you're a
what might help is you might want to throw some junk into the gas tank.
You can go to your local auto supply store, and they have a whole shelf of these miracle cures.
Uh-huh.
I'd buy one of each.
Yeah. And it's not the end of the world because, I mean, this is drivable. It's been doing this for months, I'll bet.
But I would try the gas tank treatment first. That may work.
Okay.
And
yeah,
if it doesn't.
I've tried that, and it doesn't seem to be helping that much, but I should do it again?
Yeah, do
oh,
it again,
yeah.
Because that's the only thing that might help short of taking the carburetor apart, and that's going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
And you're not going to
which
like
you don't
it.
Have, because if you had any money, you wouldn't be driving
wouldn't
this
be driving thing. Wouldn't be driving
83,
yeah.
But try, if one can is good, put two in. If it says add one can, put two.
Okay.
What the hell? Good luck, Chris.
Thank you.
Good luck, Chris.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255-578-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Do you know pi beyond six digits?
Are you talking to me or our caller?
I was talking to you, but I'll talk to the caller, too. Who's there?
Hi, guys. This is Mr. February from Maple Corner, Vermont.
Mr. February, are you on the calendar with no clothes?
Hey, how'd you know about us?
Where are you from?
Maple Corner, Vermont.
Maple Corner.
Yeah.
And where might that be?
It's 10 miles north of Montpelier, the capital.
I was in the capital one day last summer.
Hey, can I take a crack at pi?
Sure.
3.14159-2634.
Did you look it up?
No, and I have it in my brain. I have no idea what pi is for, but for some reason I seem to remember that number.
Wow, that's the geek test. Anyone who can go beyond the 9 is a certified geek.
I'm stuck at 22.7 still.
I still don't know what to use it for. But
oh, no, it's hardly useful.
So are you a geek?
I'm not.
You're not?
No.
And what's the Mr. February thing?
I'm Mr. February from the Men of Maple Corner calendar, the famous Men of Maple Corner calendar.
Oh,
really?
This is like the Women of Tamworth?
That's right. Yes.
So you really are, what's the...
Uber model.
Uber model. So are these cheesecake photos or are these a beefcake, whatever they call
them? Well, we're more the cheesecake photos. I don't know.
Are you clothed?
A bunch of middle-aged, wrinkled-up old men. But we sold 39,000 calendars.
Boy, there must be a lot of horny old broads out there.
Yeah. And I want their addresses.
Oh, you guys.
Do you want to send your mailing list?
Sure.
So what are you calling us for, Mr. February? You got nothing better to do?
I've got a question. In our calendar, we have a picture of a sleek black beauty, our 1968 convertible Beetle. We've been using it for photo shoots and things, but we want to use it as our official parade vehicle in the next year's 4th of July parade in Montpelier. And the problem is, if, as soon as you get more than six guys in the back seat, the seat compresses, hits the battery terminal, and
right.
the seat catches on fire.
And it catches on fire.
Right.
We had that puzzler one day.
You've got all these men running out into the crowd, stark naked through the billowing smoke.
With their privates on fire. Their
privates on fire, exactly.
So we want to take the seat out and put something underneath it that's not it won't conduct electricity.
Try
but if
wood.
We put like wood or something and it gets wet and it's not fire resistant.
I guess you don't want wood if it possibly. I don't see how it could get wet.
No,
it would be
a good
idea to make it impervious to water.
What's actually doing this is that the springs of the seat.
Right.
Are shorting out against the terminals of the battery.
Right.
You could take a rubber floor mat.
Right. Excellent.
And lift up the seat, throw that floor mat in there.
And that would do it.
And you can pile up bodies to your heart's content. And I think you'd be all right.
Cool.
Yeah. You know, and just don't call us.
Well, we could come down to Boston for a parade if you'd like.
That's all right.
But if this is a 68 and it's all rusty.
68, yeah.
Then pretty soon, with enough guys in the back, you're going to be pushing down so hard on the battery that you're going to push the battery right through the bottom of its case, and the battery will be dragging along on the ground.
Send us a picture of the battery.
I'll send you a calendar.
All right.
Okay, cool.
Hey, thanks for calling, Mr. February.
Thanks a lot.
See you later.
See you later. Bye.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mary. I'm from Culver, Indiana.
Hi, Mary from Culver, Indiana. What's going on?
Well, I have a question. It's more one of those husband and wife things that we'd like you to settle.
Yeah.
My husband and I go on a lot of long road trips. We really, really like that. We like the back roads and everything. And occasionally, as we're driving along, I got to make sure I say this correctly. I have said we pass an odor, but that's not what I really mean. We encounter an odor from the outside coming into the car.
Oh.
Yes.
Encounter, yeah.
That's another story.
Okay. Passing okay.
Right. So
encounter.
We're driving along and say, like, you know, we pass maybe where a skunk has been or an industrial odor or, you know, some car that's kind of emitting some things.
Yeah.
And my husband has this, what I call a screwball theory, that if he rolls down his window, like immediately, as soon as we smell this, that's better for everybody involved, and that the odor will dissipate more quickly. Whereas,
that only works if the odor is coming from inside the car.
That's what I'm thinking.
I can attest to that.
But, right, and this isn't. We are not generating this odor.
When you encounter this odor, this happens with the windows closed?
Exactly.
Sure,
the windows are rolled up and everything. And he will do this whether it's January or June. He will.
Okay.
So I think, you know, just grin and bear it and drive fast. Get out of there. So.
See, now, I've always operated on this theory that if I wanted to, how can I delicately say this?
You can't.
If I wanted to unleash an odor of my own, the time to do it is when you've encountered some other odor
like
that might mask your odor.
Good point.
Right? And of course, you'd open the window just to be on the safe side.
Well, that might be what's happening. No.
Oh, no.
No, but he does this. And I thought, he's the only one. I mean, he's brilliant, but he's quirky. And I thought, he's the only one. So then we were driving a student someplace one time. We're both teachers. And this happened. He rolled down the window. She goes, my dad does that all the time. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. You know?
Well, it is true, I suppose,
really?
That when you open a window, you can get enough of a, what do they call that, a draft. You know, it's like a chimney effect.
Yeah.
Well, of course.
That you're drawing.
When you open the windows, you're going to suck out everything that's in the car already.
Yeah.
Right. So there may be something to it.
Supposedly. He says that he developed this. He grew up in Amish country in northern India.
Well, you know, I the next time he does this, though, see if he leans and lifts a cheek or anything, because that could be a dead giveaway that there's something else going on. Yeah, just a thought.
I will keep an eye out for that. But he says he actually developed this in relation to, you know, being around a lot of horses and buggies, you know, on the road.
Well, I happen to think he's right.
I happen to think he's right, too, but I happen to think he may be up to something else as well.
You know, I'm going to keep an eye on the guy. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you for calling, Mary.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our Blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back as he just walked in, from the West Seattle Beef Cattle, Lamb Saddle, Snakes Rattle, and Fiddle Faddle, Nosh and Skedaddle, is John Bugsy Lawler.
Wow.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our loss prevention associate is Natasha DeMerchandise. Our staff clock watcher is Colette O'Day. Our cruise activity planner is Eaton Doolittle. Our practical joke evaluator is Odessa Goodwin. Tommy's front yard designer is Roxanne Debris. Our complaint line operator is Xavier Breath. Our furnace repairman is Levon Coates. Our program transcriber is Diana Boredom. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Outavindo. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working weather support group, of course, is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the squirrels checking their PDAs in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And if you remember anything, remember this. Don't drive like my brother.
And if you don't remember everything, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1143, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, complete details on an easy way to get rid of the old car that's been sitting in your driveway.
Oh, yeah, sell it to my brother.
Even better, call the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program. They'll pick it up, sell it, or dismantle it for the benefit of your local public radio station and give you a tax break.
And it's much more dignified than seeing my brother chugging around in it.
Oh, yeah. Details of the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program are available all week on the homepage at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the NPR nurse checks her Petri dish to see how the laryngitis germs are coming along whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.